Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations all over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss.
Francisco Lindor, baby. Two-run homer. The Mets are up 4-0.
Look at that. Look at that. Kyle, the biggest Mets fan in Central Illinois.
That is right. Didn't think I'd ever say that.
Well, you do what you got to do to get to the postseason. If the Mets can help you along the way, then that's what's got to happen.
They got Kodai Senga pitching tonight in Game 2. Ooh. So, hey, if the Mets can pull off a doubleheader sweep and bail out Seiya Suzuki and the Cubs, okay. Yeah. I'm back in.
Yeah.
After my whole first segment rant, I'm back.
I'm going to take you down a rabbit hole because I was chasing a Jordan Walker rookie card. I was dabbling a little bit. I don't buy too many trading cards these days, but I came up with a sweet Kodai Senga rookie, which I know he doesn't have – he's a little bit older. So he's not going to have as long of a career in the majors, but I was pretty happy with that because he's what they call his fork ball, the ghost fork.
Ghost fork, yeah. I watched
he's
him.
He's filthy, man.
He pitched against the Cubs and dominated them back in like early August, I want to say, and that pitch is unhittable. I mean, unless you lay off it, and you can't because it's so deceptive. Like, that pitch is incredible. He's been crazy. I mean, if the Mets are a little bit better and Blake Snell wasn't putting up zeros every time out there, he'd be right in there for the Cy Young.
That's a good call. Good call. Yeah. I mean, maybe the Mets will do it. Are you scared at all about the Reds? They got one last night in a high-scoring game. They got to beat Beaver tonight.
That's the thing. Yeah, you're just another team sitting right there that has a tiebreaker over you because you blew two games in the ninth inning against them. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, the fact that they get that first one last night. And obviously the Cubs lose, and they got a tough road. Like, they're a game and a half back of the Cubs. They're right there. I'm a little.
And the Cardinals might DH Adam Wainwright all weekend.
Yeah. I did see somebody said that the decision to give Adam Wainwright an at-bat will be determined by if the Reds are still in postseason contention or not.
Is that right?
That's what I think. I saw someone. And it was a legitimate reporter.
So Cardinals are saying if it is going to impact the race, they won't do it?
Right. So if the game means nothing to either team, then they'll give him an at-bat. And if the Reds are still playing for something, they're not going to, you know, be disrespectful to the game or whatnot.
That'd be against the Cardinal way, right?
Yeah, it would.
Everybody just... who's not a Cardinals fan just threw up the Cardinal way. Well, whatever way it is right now, it's wrong.
Oh, I throw up every time I hear that.
Yeah, it's a little, hold on, I don't know what the right word is. I don't know.
Was Miles Michaelis hitting Ian Happ for backswinging on Contreras? Was that the Cardinal way that we always hear about?
Apparently not, but then I hear all these stories about how Bob Gibson used to throw at people's chins. So
Different era,
but still, like, if you're going to say, well, this is the Cardinal way, but wasn't Bob Gibson playing some payback at times? Or maybe he was just trying to keep people off the plate, I guess. Or then there's the story of Dusty Baker, like, goes up to him in a restaurant, and Bob's like, don't ever do that to me again.
Oh, man. Cardinal way for you.
Cardinal way. Hey, you know, you got me at a good time right now. I would dog the crap out of the Cardinals on anything at this point in time. I'm really sour on them. But something's up with me. I think it's because the Bears stink. Like, I'm sitting here actively rooting for the Cubs to get in the playoffs. I really do. That's genuine. I didn't even sit there and, like, laugh myself to sleep last night.
You very well could have, and I wouldn't have blamed you at all.
I could have, but I'm not even there. I don't feel that. So I didn't do that. But I'm disgusted by the Cardinals right now. So there you have it. Let's talk some more Illinois-Purdue.
That's a team that needs to get a win to save your mental, your sports state of mind, doesn't it?
The Bears?
No, the Illinois football.
Oh, Illinois, yeah. Yeah, no, this is a big game. I'm very much and have been very much looking forward to this clash. I know it's going to be a big one. I'm admittedly, I think I know which way I'm going to go prediction-wise. My pick is due tonight for Illini Inquirer. Mm. Make sure to check out the preview. I'm conflicted, Kyle. I think I could still be talked into either side, but I think I know where I'm going to go.
I feel like I kind of know where you're going to go to. Based on
I hinted it at
your
a little
hint
bit
on
Monday, yeah,
and I think I kind of hinted where I'm going to go, but I think it can go either way, and I don't come into this game. I think you would have hoped, based on where Illinois would have been at through 4 weeks, and just looking at the way Purdue has played and yes. how terrible their defense has been, you should be coming into this game saying we absolutely should beat this team. This should be an Indiana type of game for Illinois. This is a game you absolutely should win. Illinois hasn't inspired that type of confidence at all. I still think they're in a little bit better spot, but then again, you go on the road. That's a pretty great environment there at Ross-Ade Stadium. I'm not saying I feel strongly about it. I just think this is a matchup where Illinois should be able to win, and they have to, and I think that they should hopefully feel that.
No, I think that's well said, because like you just voiced, if Illinois was the team that we expected going into the season, and you didn't even watch any of the four games, you just woke up on September 27th, saw Illinois was 2-2, like, oh, yeah, you know, they lost to Kansas, they lost to Penn State, like we thought. They won the games they were supposed to win, and you watched all of Purdue up to this point, you'd think Illinois would go in there and just win by at least two, if not three, touchdowns.
For sure.
And you look at the rosters, too. I mean, as far as the talent on the rosters, and that's something that I don't want to maybe go too far down a rabbit hole, because we do want to play these coordinators. We got some time. I'm not saying that there's immense pressure on this team, because they lost so much, and in hindsight, it should have, for some, you know, maybe calibrated their expectations a little bit more so. But when you've got NFL guys like Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph, despite some other holes in your roster, you shouldn't be fighting bowl eligibility.
No,
you shouldn't. I mean, that to me is something that this team is better than. They need to be able to. You've gotten better play for the most part. I get the four picks against Penn State from Luke Altmyer. It was really, really poor. And did he look great last week? He looked decent. It was a nice, decent bounce back. Still can ask some more from him, but he was one question going in. I know we didn't foresee the offensive line being this big of an issue, but what I'm getting at is you've got, all in all, a better Luke Altmyer, I think, or at least as good of a Luke Altmyer as you would have expected if you kind of took into the context he hadn't played a lot of collegiate football. And you've got the talent of Randolph and Newton. That's two of, yes, 11 players on defense, but
you've got a guy that's second in the Big Ten in receiving yards and first in receptions.
That too. I'm just saying that lining up with, hey, you lose this game, there's a really, really good chance you're not going to a bowl game. That doesn't sit that well, and it shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't at all. It does baffle me. Like the offensive line thing, this is an offensive line that, yeah, were they perfect last year? No, but they were a finalist for the Joe Moore Award for one of the best offensive lines in college football. Now, obviously, they were never going to win that. You've got better offensive lines like a Michigan who ultimately won it, and there's other ones, but they were really good unit last year. And I know that you lose two guys in Alex Pilstrom and Alex Palcheski to the NFL, but this should not be a line when you get two NFL prospects, guys that could have declared for the draft and probably gotten taken in the late round or been in a training camp in the NFL this offseason, in Julian Pearl and Isaiah Adams. A guy in Zy Chrisler was a Big Ten honorable mention, all Big Ten honorable mention last year. A guy in Josh Cruz, who has been the talk of the last couple years, like he's the center in waiting after Doug Kramer leaves, and then they find Alex Pilstrom to just kind of give him an extra year. And I just... to have that offensive line be as horrible as it's been, to have the linebacker play with some of the guys that you got back there be as bad as it's been, including the outside linebackers, like they've been better here recently, but Gabe Akis and Seth Coleman were supposed to be one of the strongest units on the team, outside linebacker. Those guys really haven't been very good. And, yeah, I mean, Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph are the furthest two people from fault for the way Illinois has played. But it just, like you said, having those guys and the way that Luke Altmyer, I think, in three of the four games has done a lot of good things. Obviously had a disastrous game in there as well. I just, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me that this is a team that's struggling to beat Florida Atlantic and that has to have a miracle fourth down go their way to beat Toledo at home and that can't, you know, is... the game is over in the second quarter against Kansas. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. And I think that there's a lot more potential. I think that's what gives me a little bit of hope here at least. And I have a lot of trust in Brett Bielema and his ability to coach a team and improve a team as the year goes on. I think they're much better than the way they played through four games. And I think they have a lot of opportunities starting with a bad Purdue football team this weekend to really start to show that the talent they have.
Yeah, and you'd hope this is a week where Brett Bielema, having all the experience that he's had, and even in go back to his first season in Illinois, had a little bit of a pretty significant turnaround. And not that they're completely out of it, that they have a below 500 record. I know they did still win last week. Some people have kind of voiced that, like, hey, for as down as some people are right now on this team, they did actually win. I get that. I get all that.
Well, let me say this, though. I don't want to necessarily compare one team to another, but last year's Illinois team probably wins that game about 38-10.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even close.
Sweat-free. Easy. Sweat-free. They hang in that Kansas game. That would have been a heck of a battle, that defense against Jalen Daniels. And then I think Illinois should have been able to run the football all over Kansas. The fact that they didn't is kind of mind-blowing. And now we understand why, because the offensive line play is not very good. And then just the quality of the running back, you're taking a step back. I mean, naturally, it's been even potentially a bigger step back than people would have imagined. But the fact that Brett has had a number of years – of head coaching experience under his belt. Ryan Walter's still trying to figure out what this thing looks like. You hope that plays in Illinois' advantage going into this Saturday there in West Lafayette. We'll see how it plays out. Let's focus on the offensive side of the ball. Barry Lunney talked about the fact that Illinois did get a few explosive plays in that game. Of course, you had the trick play, the flea flicker, where Altmyer finds Griffin Mord on the sideline. That was a big momentum-shifting play. Illinois needed it. They were down 10-0. But at the same time, Illinois only scoring 23 points, despite getting a lot of yards. Lonnie hit on both of those points in his first comment. Let's hear from the Illini offensive coordinator.
Obviously, the name of the game for offense is scoring, and that's the one thing that we didn't do the other day. That, you know, that performance could have been or should have been a 31 to 35 point performance. And then, listen, our job is to score one more point in the other team. I'm thrilled that we did that and that we scored enough points to help us win the football game as a team, right? Our defense did a phenomenal job bailing us out in a couple of tough situations. But, you know, you score, explosive plays are part of scoring drives, most of them. I mean, we want to be methodical, and we also want to control the ball and have a sustained drive. It's really, really important to unlock scoring potential to have explosive plays. And we did that the other day. We did a nice job of that. And I think we have explosive play potential. When we execute well, we got enough players that can create plays. I think we got a quarterback that can create those types of plays, and we're going to need those on Saturday. We're going to need chunk yardage plays. They're not easy to come by in this defense or in this league. They're not, but it's important that you have them to help bolster your drive so you don't have to have a 14-play drive to go score. You can do it in a 7-play, a 6-play set, and that's the name of the game in football in general. Now, again, that's not what we're always chasing, because explosive plays happen through execution. That's what they usually happen through, and opportunity, if the opportunity is called.
Barry Lunney did correct himself in saying,
yeah,
it doesn't happen. At first he goes, doesn't happen against this team, and then he corrects himself saying it doesn't happen all the time in this league. It should happen against this team.
Yes.
This Purdue defense is brutal. They've been just hemorrhaging big chunk plays to essentially everyone but Vatek.
Yeah, it's been a terrible defense, and I think this is the game where if you can't run the football against this Purdue team, then, I mean, it's what are we doing here? If you can't run the – if you can't build off that second half against Florida Atlantic where you averaged 8 yards a carry and you got your – all four running backs got going in that game, if you can't get push on the offensive line against a Purdue defensive front that's been completely gutted from a year ago, that's given up all kinds of rushing yards, including quarterback rushing yards. I mean, Luke Altmaier is going to be involved as well. If you can't get something going offensively, and that's not to say you shouldn't be able to throw it all over this defense either. There's really no strength here with Purdue. They've been brutal on both fronts in terms of passing defense and rushing defense, and Illinois needs to have a big offensive day in this game. And I think that it was encouraging to put up 500-plus yards against FAU, but then again, 23 points and some failed opportunities. You can't miss on those opportunities in a Big Ten game.
You look at the stats here, Purdue's giving up 5.6 yards per play.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, and you look, just focusing on the run game, 4.1 yards per rush, anything over 4 yards carry is getting gashed. And yeah, I mean, Wisconsin was able to just seem like anytime Mordecai wanted to drop back, it was 15, 20 yards a lot of times in terms of finding those chunk plays. So Illinois being able to get that with Altmaier with his legs. We talked a lot about the fact that Syracuse's quarterback, as well as who else really hurt them on the ground? Mordecai, really, last week. Yeah. And I think, did Fresno State's quarterback do the same? No, I'm
not sure.
I think that they were an aerial attack. But, yes, the quarterback run, we know Altmaier can do it. Pretty much choose your weapon against Purdue in terms of their defense. And you should be able to have success. Slow starts should not play into this one, and if it does, I do worry about that one for the Illini. But the running game was something in the second half as far as a bright spot. When you have Reggie Love break a big one, Josh McCray got going a little bit, Caden Fagan had a what would have been his first career touchdown right there in front of him, but he did make the smart play and go down there. But he's been a bright spot. Aiden Loffrey has done a little bit of here and there and got the end zone himself. So Barry Lunney has some choices to make in terms of cycling through those running backs. He commented on that in terms of the decision making on who gets those carries.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it's specialized packaging, right, to where we know for certain guys are going to touch the ball, and then it's feeling the game. You know, I know there's several series of the game, like Reggie will start the series and Caden is basically the backup in the series in case something to happen or one of those need a rest and it goes on a long drive. And then there's certain series that Josh will start and Aiden's the backup, you know, and if we have a sustained drive, then you can see. So I think it's a combination of like pre-scripted, premeditated, then it's the rotation based on how a guy's health status is, how the length of the drive is. And at the end of the day, you want to be able to look at the stat sheet at the game being over and all four of those guys touching the ball and having a chance to impact us.
Kyle, as you think about it from this past Saturday and seeing some more sample size of some of the young guys getting worked in, Josh McCray did look better there in that second half. Has there been any change in your mind in terms of how you want to see these carries divvied up? Do you think all three or four should get opportunities in one given game?
Yeah, honestly, I think that's the biggest thing I took away from it is that Caden Fagan and Aiden Loffrey are ready to play at this level. I mean, obviously, it wasn't against a Big Ten team, but I think those guys showed me something, each one with that Aiden Loffrey, like it was like a 19-yard run where he broke a couple tackles to set up his own touchdown, and then Caden Fagan, he just continues. I mean, he had a couple runs against, was it Penn State or Kansas that he got in and got a couple carries? I can't remember, but it was in garbage time of the Penn State game. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think he just has that physicality. He's almost like, I think Josh McCray showed that a little bit of what he used to be in that second half, but he's almost like what you thought Josh McCray was in terms of that big-bodied, physical runner. So I think I wouldn't mind seeing all four of those guys get carries again against Purdue. Now, I think Reggie Love has been pretty impressive. I think you're encouraged by what Josh McCray gave you, but I think all four of those guys are ready to impact you. I think they're all somewhat different. They bring something different to the table, kind of as Lunney alluded to there. And so I think that having that depth there, I think you got to find a way to spark this run game and get it going. And I'm not saying I'm giving up on Reggie Love and Josh McCray being two guys that can have really successful years, but we've seen it be just those two guys and it hasn't been all that successful. Maybe you go to those younger guys to give you a little bit of a spark. I'm not saying they each need 10 carries. I'm just saying you have options here, and if you're struggling early, then maybe you turn to a younger, more energetic type of face like a Loughery or a Fagan.
Yeah, those guys, very talented. Those are big recruiting wins for Illinois at the time. And if it's just the internal competition of those guys are starting to flash, maybe it's kind of a wake-up call for especially a guy like Josh McCray. Okay, I got to figure this out or my carries are going to get eaten up here. But also, I think if Illinois is in a situation where they're going to use three or four backs, that means they're committing enough to the running game, mm-hmm. and it's finding enough success. It should, given what Purdue has given up. So I think that's something that, yeah, you go into a college football Saturday and you expect all four to probably work their way into the game in some capacity. I think Fagan, I understand a lot of excitement on him coming off of the last couple of weeks, in particular this past Saturday. So I'm going to be very intrigued to see what that looks like here in the coming weeks. And I think that's an asset for Illinois to have a number of options in that backfield. Let's take a quick break. Let's get to the defensive side when we come back. Aaron Henry talked about going up against a familiar face, a guy that knows your defense, a guy that you really worked under and schemed with in terms of Ryan Walters when he was here in Champaign. And also, Ryan Walters gives his thoughts on going up against the Illini. We'll get to that and any of your texts, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
Fighting Illini football is back in Champaign as they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Memorial Stadium Friday night, October 6th at 7 p.m. It's our Celebrate Food and Ag game. Bring the family for a special petting zoo area inside Grange Grove with animals to interact with Illini fans and kids. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's Big Ten matchup against Nebraska. Friday night under the lights on October 6th. Get tickets at FightingIllini.com.
Nebraska International in Urbana is a legacy founded in 1958 by aviation pioneer Rudy Frasca with a mission of improving safety in the skies. Over 60 years later, Frasca is committed to providing the best simulation equipment available with superior quality and a personal approach to service and support. Would you love to make a difference in your job? Frasca is looking for composites fabricator, electronic technician, electrical design associate, machine shop finisher, and customer service manager. Positions for field service engineer, software engineer, aeronautical engineer, mechanical engineer, and project manager are also available. The perfect fit will enjoy full-time benefits with paid time off, holidays, a 401k, and Monday through Friday schedule. For details, call 217-344-9200. As an equal opportunity employer, you can learn more about the application process at frasca.com/careers.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at pdrauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal. Still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The Champaign Park District has some terrific fall events to jot down on your day planner. Flannel Fest will be in downtown Champaign in Westside Park from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 14th and 15th. with music, a mustache contest, and lumberjack show. The Great Pumpkin Hunt has you looking for small painted rocks in area parks throughout the month of October. On Wednesday, October 25th at Marketplace Mall between 5 and 7 p.m., enjoy the free Halloween Fun Fest. Learn more at champagneparks.com.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design. And right now, we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
Can't touch this.
Please go to our website at AftershockDD.com. Click on the Jobs tab and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
At ABC Heating and Air, it's our promise to help you always be comfortable. Do you need rescued because you're burning hot? Do you need rescued because your air is shot? Call ABC Heating and Air at 352-5400 and let us rescue you from the heat. ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400. Can't you see you need to call me at ABC? Call ABC Heating and Air. That's ABC Heating and Air, 352-5400.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday morning 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's focus in on the defense. Atlanta have been making some strides here recently, an encouraging performance against Penn State, at least for three quarters. And they did all right against FAU. Would have liked to have a little bit of a better start. Could have helped if you got anything, literally anything, out of your offense in the first quarter. But things just seemed a little too easy for FAU in that first stretch where they go up 10-0. The defense does buckle down, gets a couple of key stops. And now you go and face a Purdue team that's got some explosiveness to their offense. They can really attack you through the air. I think that's, as I look at it, that's something that is a little frightening when you think about Hudson Card. If he has a good game, he has been turnover prone. I mentioned that to Mick Walker. He had three fumbles in that contest against Syracuse, along with the pick. That's four turnovers for him. Then threw two interceptions against Wisconsin as well. So he has had some issues with taking care of the football, but that's something that defense is going to have to be up for the task against an air raid type of offense. So one interesting facet of this is that Ryan Walters knows very, very well what Illinois likes to do defensively, because Aaron Henry was literally under him as a secondary coach last season. Not to say there haven't been some new wrinkles or just the ability to have a little bit of a new look or pivot that way. But Aaron Henry was asked, how do you prepare for a team that knows exactly maybe what you're going to do? When you're facing Walters, does your preparation change? I think that's an interesting question. And here's what Aaron Henry had to say about that.
I wouldn't say it's harder. I think it's I think you just have to do what you do really, really, really well. You know, everybody know we play man-to-man. That ain't no secret, right? Like, that's just what we do. That's how we do it. And the goal going into that game and playing against these guys is, how do we match up against them? I think we match up pretty well against them. They got some good wideouts, but I think we got good defensive backs. And so it's going to give us the opportunity to go against some really good talent. Anytime you get in this conference, you're going to play against a plethora of really good wide receivers. And they got talent on that side of the ball, you know, like any other team does, right? Like, Toledo had talent on that side of the ball. Kansas had talent on that side of the ball. FAU had talent on that side of the ball. And so now you're going to a stretch of games where everybody's going to have talent. It's just a matter of matching up and doing what you do better than they do what they do. You know, it's going to boil down, at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to fundamentals and technique, right? Fundamentals and tackling, right? Technique with your eyes, right? The proper adjustments, can we get aligned properly? And then trying to create takeaways, right? Trying to give our offense more opportunities with taking the ball away, because I don't think we've done that this year enough.
How much, Kyle, does this Purdue passing attack concern you as you look at Illinois and what they've shown so far?
Yeah, it's a concern for sure. You look at the Big Ten receiving leaderboard, Purdue's got two of the top five guys in Deion Burks and Abdur Rahman Yassin. I hope I didn't butcher that. I did for sure. But I think, yeah, it's a concern. I don't necessarily think the Illini secondary has been the biggest concern for me. I think they played very well against Penn State. Now, I don't think Penn State necessarily opened everything up, and I think that they were trying to run the ball, and Illinois was stopping them on that front. Obviously, they didn't play as well against Kansas and Toledo. I think, like, Taz Nicholson, if he's healthy, I think he's played pretty well as that number one corner. I don't think he's really gotten targeted all that much. I think Xavier Scott's showed some things. Now, he got burned by a really good slot guy on FAU. I can't remember his name now. I want to say LeJonte Wester, number one, that was lined up across from him, had like 13 catches. But I don't necessarily think that they've been bad. I do think that if you're facing a team now that you know is going to throw it all over you, I think that changes the prep a little bit, and I think that can put a lot more pressure than maybe we've seen some of these other opponents, because you look at the first two, and obviously it was all about mobile quarterbacks and some of those options and containing that, and then Penn State was trying to establish the run against you, and FAU is just not quite your level of competition there. Now you got a team that you know is going to throw it all over you, kind of what we thought was going to be the test at the beginning of the year for this team, and it hasn't really played out that way. We thought maybe we'd see right out of the gate teams air it out. This is the first opponent you know is actively trying to air it out. That does concern me a little bit, but I've been cautiously optimistic about what this secondary has shown. I think they've bigger tests ahead than what they've seen. But I think that these guys have played pretty well based on the circumstances. I do think it's going to be a big test for those guys. I think it's going to be a test for Taz Nicholson, Tyler Strain, Xavier Scott, especially at corner, and locking down these pretty talented receivers. And the one thing that hasn't happened is takeaways. That was a big part of last year. Now, obviously, when you have a Devin Witherspoon and a Sidney Brown and Kendall Smith, I think Sidney Brown and Kendall Smith combined for 10 picks last year at safety, you don't necessarily have those playmakers. That's the one thing that, especially like you mentioned with the turnover concerns with Hudson Card, like this secondary, while they haven't been terrible, they do need to start generating some turnovers. And that's what made last year's defense so good, was the fact that you did have Illinois winning that turnover battle almost every time out there. I think this is an opportunity where they could have a couple of those plays come about.
That's a really good point. Yeah, they need to be opportunistic when that happens, if and when that happens on Saturday, if Hudson Card puts the ball up for grabs, or if that defensive line can get there in the backfield and, you know, strip sack, make them put the ball on the ground. Can you come up with those plays? Can you make those plays? And then can you be the determining factor on whether that's a recovery for Purdue and they get to reset and, you know, maybe they end up just punting the ball away on a wasted drive, or do you pick that ball up and make a big momentum changing play, flip the field and set up your offense? I think that's going to be really interesting. But yeah, I mean, through the years, when you've had Rondale Moore, then David Bell, then Charlie Jones, Deion Burks looks like a big play, dangerous receiver. I know he had a huge game week one against Fresno State, and even just you look at his stats so far through four games, about 300 yards receiving, three touchdowns. He's averaging like 20 yards a catch. So, I mean, he's a fast guy, not the tallest, but kind of a speedster there that's playing for the Boilers, that is going to be one that Illinois really got to do what they can to lock up. I do, when I think about Purdue kind of spacing you out, like that was something that Kansas did really, really well, was space out this Illinois defense, get their linebackers in coverage against some guys out of the backfield. Now, I'm not saying that I know Purdue's personnel a ton to say, oh, well, you know, this guy out of the backfield is really going to potentially kill Illinois. But that's something that does concern me a little bit. But I do think it's a fair point. Like, on the whole, if I'm grading the biggest, most, you know, red alert concerns for Illinois, I did think that it was very possible to be sitting here through 4 weeks and say secondary number one. I'm not there. It would be offensive line. But it is also still something that is a little bit of a – I mean, it's very much a concern, especially – if you don't get pressure, as Brian points out on the U of I line on the text line, that the pressure can alleviate some of the secondary issues, or just putting a secondary in a good position to have success. You need to have that pressure, and we'll see if Illinois can do that on Saturday. Ryan Walters talked about his angle, or at least in terms of how he sees this, going back to facing the Illini. Just familiar faces, seeing Brett Bielema, seeing Aaron Henry and these guys, and what this is going to look like from his vantage point as he faces his old team. Here's Ryan Walters.
You know, watching their film now, like, this is the I haven't watched their film all season until, you know, we played Friday. I watched their tape Saturday. You know, they have changed a little bit, as have we. You know, you want to cater and tweak things to be conducive to what your roster is capable of doing and what they're good at. There still is a lot of familiarity. Like, I can tell what I'm seeing on tape. And obviously, I got to go against Coach Lunny every day in practice for a spring and a fall. So there are some similarities there, but there are also a lot of new faces in that program as well that I wasn't there for. And so, you know, yeah, I ran through the scouting report from a personnel standpoint for our offense and just talked about who the guys were on defense and what they were good at and, you know, what to expect from a structure standpoint. And then watching their offense, you know, they're good guys or have been their good guys for a while. And I think Coach Lonnie does a good job of trying to get his playmakers the ball in space. So there's definitely familiarity there. But at the end of the day, like, we got to worry about what we are doing and how we can improve so that we can go out there and compete our tails off on Saturday.
That is Ryan Walters, and going to be interesting to see him again on the sidelines. And let's play this thing out, man. I remember months ago just being like, oh, look what he said on Twitter, and here's Brett's response, and let's line this thing up and see if this can be a true rivalry that brews. And hopefully, you know, when you have expectations for a game that's going to have a little bit more juice, maybe some off the field stuff, what have you, that the football game is really intense. It's close, although I think either side would be fine with blowing out the other. But that's what I hope to see. Yes, on Peacock, because you gotta get Peacock to be able to watch this football game. But someone help Lonte out. He's not here. We'll maybe fix him up on Friday.
Lon's got to just cave in here because Illinois plays Purdue on Peacock and they play Maryland on Peacock in 2 weeks.
Do they really?
So you're getting two games for your buck if you are not a Peacock subscriber. I have been already, so I'll be tuning in on my Peacock account because I've watched a couple shows on there. But you gotta bite it. I mean, I think it's $6 a month and you need it for 1 month. Two Illinois football games. This is where we're headed now.
It's got to be better than, like, BTN Plus.
Yeah. No, I've heard that the quality on some of these streaming broadcasts, and even, I'm trying to think, like, the baseball, when they play when they do the Apple TV Plus baseball broadcast, the quality's fantastic. Yes. That's not really the issue. It's obviously the fact that you got to pay.
Yeah. Well,
got to empty the wallet.
That's just kind of how it goes right now with.
But hey,
streaming content.
Illinois basketball's got some Peacock games.
They're going to have some Peacock
games. So you gotta start getting used to it.
Just do what it takes. Or just show up at an establishment around here. I'm sure they'll take care of the what it takes to get that thing on the screen, and then you take care of the bill. So anyways, yes, Illinois-Purdue on Saturday on Peacock. Excited to watch that.
To go back to your point real quick, though, I do feel like it's lost. In the offseason, we were talking about how Illinois-Purdue, I can't wait for that game in West Lafayette in September 30th. I mean, I'm still excited for it. I feel like it's lost a little bit of what that rivalry juice could have been based on the fact that both these teams are not playing their best football. I feel like you look at the schedules, like, I don't necessarily think either of these teams, like, Purdue has had a really tough schedule here. I don't think you expected to be running into a 4-0 Purdue team here. A lot of us had Illinois 2-2, but I feel like both teams have just come out of the gate so poorly that the storyline has more turned to man, both these teams really need this game, and this is that you have to have this, or we're going to be talking about is this team going to a bowl game for either side, when we could have been talking about how great this rivalry could be and how much we're excited to pay back some of Ryan Walter's Twitter comments from the offseason and all this stuff. And now it's just like, please just win this game. This is a terrible opponent, and it's the storyline's gotten watered down a little bit. I wish we could have had that juice still be there.
You're so right about that. Yeah, the fact that both sides, as much as they probably would have loved to be talking some trash or having that be a primary storyline, they're like, well, we can't say too much. We haven't played good football. And, oh, wait, nope. On the other side, they haven't played good football either. We need this just for our season. We're trying to fix ourselves. Like, that's essentially what both sides are trying to do, is we haven't played our best football. And really, I think when you look at the schedules for both these teams, no, they haven't played like a, yeah, I mean, Penn State is one, but in terms of the non-conference, like a prime level opponent, like a top tier. And yes, Ohio State just did this against Notre Dame, but in terms of not having a like cupcake built in there, like an auto win built in there, I mean, FAU kind of was, but then it wasn't in the last 2 to 4 minutes of that game. Essentially what I'm saying is both teams have been tested each and every week, and now they sit here with Illinois 2-2, Purdue's 1-3. Purdue, if they lose this, probably going to be 1-6. Illinois, if they lose this, maybe not going to go to a bowl game. It does lose some of the fun, and both sides probably, I know Jay was saying a couple of weeks ago, like, watch out for Purdue after the Vatek game. I mean, they could maybe win the West. It's a bad West, but and Illinois and the other side has been sitting saying that since the offseason. Maybe we could. Why couldn't we win the West? I mean, seemed like at least half of the BTN analysts, when they went and gave their preseason predictions, picked Illinois to be in the Big Ten championship game, and now they haven't looked like that caliber of squad. So that I'm with you. I mean, both sides, for without sugarcoating it, I think both sides are really ready for basketball. And whoever loses this game,
if Illinois
basketball mode.
If Illinois wins this game, I'm not quite there yet. I think you look at 3-2, 1-1 in the Big Ten, so many winnable games on the schedule. If Illinois loses this game, I'm gonna be looking up some Ty Rogers practice highlights playing point guard and Terrence Shannon dunking on people last year. That's where I'll be at if Illinois can't get it done on Saturday.
Won't you be watching Cubs playoff baseball?
I hope. That'd be great. I will be watching Dolphins football against the Bills.
Yes. That's a must-watch game, like, just nationally.
Yeah, what are we doing with the listen, I get it. Chiefs-Jets preseason was an outstanding matchup on paper, but, like, the Monday night and Sunday night games this week are Chiefs-Jets and Giants-somebody.
Got to flex it.
And Dolphins Bills is at noon, and I know Browns Ravens is at noon. Like, why do we have to wait till week 12 to flex? Let's get the best games in primetime.
Locally, are we going to get Bills Jets? You know,
I think the Bears are on CBS. So.
Oh, that's terrible. That's the worst news I've heard in the entire football season.
Because I was looking at that too. I mean, I have YouTube TV, so I have the Sunday ticket.
Do I have to get
everybody to watch the Dolphins anyway? But I was looking at that. I'm like, this has to be the national CBS noon game right now. The Bears are playing the Broncos.
All around me are familiar faces.
You're telling me it's not enough punishment to just be a Bears fan, to have that be your franchise. That Bears-Broncos game, that atrocity, is going to be on my television screen, and I can't have access to the Bills-Dolphins? What?
Couldn't CBS?
This is the worst thing that's happened. The worst.
Don't you think CBS should be doing the entire country a favor if they said, we are dropping this game from our coverage? We're not even sending a broadcast crew to cover this one. If you want to watch this one, buy a ticket. We do not want anyone to watch this game.
For their ratings, like, why would you not want it? I don't want to watch the Bears. I want to watch that game. My excitement still for the NFL is that I get to watch other teams. I get to watch other football games and enjoy it. That's one that I've been circling and saying, I need to see that football game. But no, now I know that Bears Broncos would be on instead. We're going to break. I'm going to try to collect myself. It's the drive.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business, as well as Central Illinois employees dedicated to providing you with professional installation and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hey folks, fall is coming, and so are great deals on the world's fastest mower, Dixie Chopper, at Champaign-Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. They still have some 23 and a select few 22 residential and commercial models at liquidation prices too low to advertise. Whether you're mowing your yard at home or 200 yards commercially, you'll get the best warranty in the business with 3-year bumper-to-bumper unlimited hours or 5-year bumper-to-bumper up to 600 hours that includes the engine, deck, and spindle hub. Go see Andy Bowman at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana for warranty details and best pricing on the world's fastest mower. He's clearing out inventory to make way for the new 24s, and no reasonable offer will be refused. Dedicated Diesel, 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, that's just off Route 45, 217-328-0562. You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a 2-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwalk or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. Sarah Champaign, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampaign.com.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-812-3. Visit CrossroadsContractorSupplyIL.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Finishing up here on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Before we go, I got to tell you about Game Day Spirit, great partner of our show, great store if you're trying to get any and all Illini gear. They've got football jerseys. If you're thinking about basketball, McLean Stahl said that they're going to have some cool announcements as far as what the hoop season is going to look like. So that is your one-stop shop. Two locations, Neil and Green Street. You can also go to gamedayspirit.com. Hats, t-shirts, hoodies. Starting to get a little bit of hoodie weather, Kyle.
Yes, it is.
You want to take a walk in the evening or be early at a tailgate, you might want a hoodie. So don't wear that same one you've been pulling out for the last 5, maybe 10 years in some cases. Go to Game Day Spirit. They'll hook you up with something nice and tell them the drive sent you. So Game Day Spirit or GameDaySpirit.com.
Mark Vientos, welcome to the party. 2-run homer. Mets lead at 6-0. Now, don't tell the Cubs that there's a 6-0 lead to be held.
Oh. I don't know if you wanted me
but
to
hopefully
play that.
The Mets could. No, you should. But hopefully the Mets can do what the Cubs couldn't last night. Hold off this Marlins team. Cubs will be back to a game up if this score holds. And then the Marlins play the Mets again tonight with Kodai Senga on the mound for New York. Some life. I didn't expect the Mets to help us this much. But and hey, there's
Kyle
life.
Kyle needed this for his...
There's the other thing, too, is there's life for the Cincinnati Reds now that the Marlins are losing. So this NL race is going to be very painful for me to watch, but very interesting for the rest of...